Ladies and gentlemen, good day and welcome to the Q1 FY25 earnings conference call of Cera Sanitaryware Limited. As a reminder, all participant lines will be in the listen-only mode, and there will be an opportunity for you to ask questions after the presentation concludes. Should you need assistance during the conference call, please signal an operator by pressing star, then zero on your touch-tone phone. Please note that this conference is being recorded. I now hand the conference over to Mr. Mayank Vaswani of CDR India. Thank you, and over to you, Mr. Vaswani.
Thank you, Michelle. Good morning, everyone, and thank you for joining us on the earnings conference call for Cera Sanitaryware Limited to discuss the Q1 FY25 earnings, which were announced yesterday. We have with us today the management team comprising Mr. Vikas Kothari, CFO, and Mr. Deepak Chaudhary, Vice President, Finance and Investor Relations at Cera Sanitaryware. We will start with brief opening remarks from the management, following which we shall open the call for Q&A. A quick disclaimer before we begin: some of the statements made in today's conference call may be forward-looking in nature, and a detailed note in this regard is contained in the results documents that have been shared with all of you earlier. I will now turn the call over to the management for their opening remarks. Over to you, sir.
Thank you, Mayank. Good morning, everyone. On behalf of the management team of Cera Sanitaryware Limited, I would like to welcome you to our earnings conference call. I will begin by sharing some updates on the operations and strategy, following which our CFO, Mr. Vikas Kothari, will run you through the key financial highlights. The first quarter of FY25 continued to experience challenging market conditions driven by subdued demand across key markets, intense heatwave conditions, and the effects of general elections. Despite these headwinds, the company reported revenues of rupees 398 crores and profit after tax of 47 crores for Q1 FY25. Our sanitaryware and faucetware business segments contributed 53% and 36% of our total Q1 FY25 revenues, respectively. While our sales this quarter did not reflect significant growth, we remain committed to our long-term vision. To be noted that Q1 results will not impact our guidance since we have already taken into consideration the expected slow performance in Q1 and Q2 of the financial year. We are confident that growth will gain momentum from the later half of the year. New product development accounted for 32% of the total sales in this last quarter. Over the past few years, there has been a growing consumer shift towards luxury properties and high-value bathroom fittings, especially in the major cities. To capitalize on this trend, Cera has been undertaking strategic measures to enhance its offerings and capabilities. We are committed to strengthening our presence in the luxury segment over the next 5 years. Although we are still in the early stages of seeing substantial numerical progress, our focus remains on laying the groundwork for its long-term growth. Our upcoming product launches will continue to feature innovative designs and value-added features tailored to luxury-seeking consumers. As most of you are aware, Cera currently has 4 distinct brands: Cera, Lux, Luster, and Senator. The introduction of new SKUs, the refreshing of existing lines, and expanding into new product categories have significantly broadened our portfolio. While our flagship brand, Cera, continues to perform strongly in the key markets, Senator, Luster, and Lux are poised to make notable inroads into the luxury segment. Additionally, we are focusing on premiumization in Tier 2 and Tier 3 towns to meet the evolving demands of these markets. This balanced approach not only reinforces our commitment to serving a diverse customer base but also strengthens our market position and adaptability. By seizing opportunities across all market segments, we ensure our relevance and competitiveness while maintaining margins. In Q1 FY25, our imports from China totaled 7 crores, representing 2% of the sales. Cera remains committed to reducing reliance on Chinese products by enhancing our in-house manufacturing capabilities and diversifying our supply chain sources. In the previous financial year, Cera successfully completed the expansion of its faucetware facility, which increased our monthly production capacity from 3 lakh to 4 lakh pieces. I'm pleased to report that the plant is running efficiently after the ramp-up period. With adequate inventory levels, we have optimized our production strategy to achieve an ideal balance between production and inventory, resulting in faucetware capacity utilization of 84% in Q1 FY25. Regarding our upcoming greenfield sanitaryware facility, we have successfully acquired a major land parcel. Due diligence is ongoing to secure the remaining land, which is anticipated to be completed by September 2024. The strategic expansion in sanitaryware and faucetware underline our commitment to broadening our premium and luxury product range, ensuring high quality and precision through advanced manufacturing technology and stringent quality control. Our budget for regular and routine CapEx for FY24-25 is ₹25.40 crores, encompassing essential upgrades in our sanitaryware and faucetware plants, including machinery replacement, customer touchpoint enhancements, and IT developments. These investments are aimed at ensuring operational efficiency, business continuity, and improved logistics. Since launching the retailer loyalty program in FY22-23, we have enrolled over 20,000 retailers and accumulated more than 3 lakh invoices on the application. Of the total retail sales amounting to 217 crores, 37% are eligible for loyalty rewards. In FY24, we achieved the highest-ever advertising spend of rupees 63.2 crores, representing 3.4% of sales. In Q1 FY25, we have spent 11.5 crores as compared with 11 crores in Q1 of FY24 towards publicity, which is in line with our projected spending for FY25. Our focus on effective cost management and operational efficiencies has enabled us to sustain our margins without implementing any substantial price increases. In Q1 FY25, our sanitaryware plant achieved a capacity utilization rate of 76%, reflecting our balanced approach to production and inventory management. For the quarter, B2C sales comprised 64% of our total revenue. Looking ahead, we anticipate continued strong demand from both B2C consumers and the growing B2B projects market. Strategically, we are leveraging project sales to manage inventory effectively. Maintaining strong margins has always been a priority at Cera. While we recognize the growing significance of B2B project sales and are committed to integrating this channel into our business strategy, we remain selective about the projects that we are undertaking. I would like to reiterate that Cera is committed to a comprehensive set of strategic initiatives designed to drive growth and strengthen our market presence. These initiatives include expanding our production capacity, enhancing our capabilities for complex and high-value products, and investing in new product development. Our continued focus on advertising and marketing aims to boost brand visibility while emphasizing on premiumization and improving our network and distribution channels, which will enable us to capture higher market segments. Additionally, we are fortifying industry relationships through engagement with key influencers such as architects and plumbers. Collectively, these efforts are intended to position Cera for sustained success and reinforce our competitive edge in the market. In conclusion, while Q1 FY25 continued to present some near-term challenges. Cera Sanitaryware remains resilient and focused on our strategic objectives. We are confident that our comprehensive initiatives will enable us to navigate these challenges effectively. As we move forward, we are optimistic about leveraging our strengths and addressing evolving market demands to continue delivering value to our stakeholders and maintaining our leadership in the sanitaryware and faucetware industry. With this, I would like to hand over to Mr. Vikas Kothari, our CFO, who will present the operational and financial highlights for the quarter ended 30th June 2024. Thank you, and over to you, Mr. Vikas Kothari.
Thank you, Deepak, and a very good morning to everyone. I will now provide a brief overview of the company's financial performance for the quarter ended 30th June 2024. In Q1 FY25, revenue from operations stood at 398 crores as against rupees 427 crores in Q1 FY24, registering a decline of 6.8%. EBITDA in Q1 FY25 stood at 72 crores as against rupees 84 crores in Q1 FY24. EBITDA margins for the current quarter stood at 17.5 as against 19% in Q1 FY24, registering a decrease of 150 basis points. The said decline in EBITDA margins is due to lower fixed cost absorption caused by decreased sales and higher discounts offered to address the challenging market conditions. For the quarter under review, 53% of revenue came from sanitaryware, 36% from faucetware, and 9% from tiles, and wellness contributed 2%. On a YOY basis, sanitaryware revenue decreased by 9%, faucetware revenue decreased by 5%, tiles by 20%, and the wellness improved by 16%. The sanitaryware and faucetware segments remain the cornerstone of our business, contributing 89% of total revenue. In Q1 FY25, 44% of our sales were in premium category, 32% in mid category, and 24% in entry level category. Profit after tax was rupees 47 crores in Q1 FY25 as compared to rupees 56 crores in Q1 FY24, registering a decrease of 16.1%. EPS for the quarter stood at rupees 36.11 compared to rupees 43.35 in Q1 FY24. In terms of the working capital, inventory days increased from 74 days to 75 days. Receivables days remained stable at 28 days and payable days stretched from 30 to 37 days. Consequently, the net working capital days were reduced from 72 days to 66 days in Q1 FY25. As on June 30, 2024, our cash and cash equivalents stood at rupees 864 crore, marking an increase of rupees 109 crores or 14.4% compared to the corresponding previous quarter. Regarding sales distribution, Tier 1 cities accounted for 35% of total sales, Tier 2 cities for 22%, and Tier 3 cities led with 43% of total sales. In addition, I am pleased to announce that the Board of Directors at its meeting held on 5th of August has approved buyback of its fully paid equity shares through tender route at a price of rupees 12,000 per equity share for an aggregate amount not exceeding rupees 130 crores, excluding any expense incurred or to be incurred for the buyback. In conclusion, I want to re-emphasize our commitment to maintaining strong financial discipline, leveraging our inherent strength and solidifying our leading position in the sector. With this, I would now request the moderator to open the line for Q&A. Thank you so much.
Thank you very much, sir. We will now begin the question and answer session. Anyone who wishes to ask questions may press star and one on their touchtone phone. If you wish to withdraw yourself from the question queue, you may press star and two. Participants are requested to use only handsets while asking a question. Ladies and gentlemen, we will wait for a moment while the question queue assembles. The first question is from the line of Praveen Sahai from PL India. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hi, sir. Thank you for taking the opportunity. Sir, related to the the bifurcation which you had given among the tier 1, tier 2, tier 3, as well as for entry and the premium level. So if I look at your tier 1 sales has actually increased on the YOY basis, and tier 3 and tier 2 has been down. So you had seen, in the tier 2, tier 3 is a more competitiveness or demand slowdown is a severe as compared to a tier 1.
Yeah, Praveen, thank you for asking the question. So my understanding is, as far as the tier bifurcations are concerned, and if we compare with the previous comparisons also, so more or less there is a demand slowness in all the tiers. However, if we see in terms of the breakup, means for the tier 1, it was 35% versus the previous corresponding quarter 33%. Tier 2, it was 22%, and the previous corresponding quarter it was 22%. And in tier 3, the percentage is 43% against the previous quarter corresponding 45%. So as such, if you see in terms of the impact of the slowness of demand is concerned, it has impacted all regions, all cities or tiers, and including the market segments.
Okay. So it just your contribution has changed. However, everywhere you have seen the impact is quite equal.
Yeah, correct. What I would suggest is we should not read too much into 1 or 2% up and down between the tiers. In between quarter and quarter, because these changes will keep on finding between one quarter to the next. So more or less the idea is that it is not that one of the sectors are experiencing slowdown vis-a-vis other tiers are expecting a lower than the others kind of a slowdown. We are seeing our sense is that all the three tiers are having a kind of slowdown. And we anticipate that this should improve from the second half of the year.
Okay, sir. Second question is related to the the gas. How is in the gas pricing as an average, or if you can give the GAIL and the Sabarmati number as well?
Yeah, regarding the gas cost. So as we have seen in the previous year also. The gas has largely benefited in terms of the overall price. So, gas prices remain favorable during this quarter also. The average gas price from GAIL was rupees 28.38 per cubic meter as against rupees 29.31 in Q1 FY24. Similarly, the average gas price from SGL was rupees 51.40 per cubic meter as against 50.01 per cubic meter in by increased withdrawal of gas from GAIL reaching out to roughly 86% in Q1 FY25, which was 78%. Yeah, sorry, there was some disruption. So I was briefing about the gas cost. So the trend was positive in the Q1, and the overall weighted average gas cost in Q1 was at ₹31.64 as against ₹33.91 in Q1 FY24, which is significantly lower as compared to the industry standards.
Okay. Okay. And the last questions are related to the margin profile. So for this quarter, we had seen a correction in the margin. And can you give some guidance for the rest of the year? Because your guidance of EBITDA margin of 16% plus and 29 billion March 27, as you had said, you are sticking to that. So next 9 months, where you are seeing this margin profile to be?
Yeah. Thank you, Praveen. So as far as margins are concerned, as I have already briefed, that the margins were impacted because of the activity impact. But this, we see it as a very short term. Our understanding is that we are quite confident in terms of the margins, which we will keep intact between 16%-17%. And I would say it will further improve as the demand situation will improve. So it is just the one quarter where we have seen, or where largely means all the major industry players, including Cera, have seen the slowness on account of different factors. So that has somewhat impacted the margins. But for the rest of the year, we are quite confident that the margins will be maintained between 16%-17%.
Thank you, sir, and all the best.
Thank you.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, in order to ensure that the management will be able to address questions from all the participants in the conference, kindly limit your questions to two per participant. Should you have a follow-up question, please rejoin the queue. We'll take the next question from the line of Rishi Kothari from Pi Square Investments. Please go ahead.
Hello. Thank you so much for the opportunity. And I had a couple of questions. First is, in the initial stage, you said that right now we are, so the quarter one FY25 was not able to, was not a good quarter for the company, but we are maintaining our targets for the coming future. So do we have any set numbers that we have given that this target are going to be met in two, three years down the line for top line or bottom line sort of thing?
Thank you. So regarding the guidance, what we have given earlier, the guidance given earlier was of reaching the target of rupees 2,900 by March 27, which will remain intact. This target, actually, we have set after factoring for the expected slow performance in Q1 and Q2 of the current financial year. And we anticipate that the improvement in the demand condition will start from the second half of the year. So as far as the guidance which we have given of maintaining a 16% CAGR over a period of 3 years is intact.
Okay. And so in terms of the actual outlook in the market, so as you see that the real estate market is anyway booming, that people are buying homes and all sort of things. And Cera Sanitaryware is something that comes secondary to the value chain of real estate market. But still, there is some muted demand. If you see the FY23 to 24 results, the revenue top line has not increased that much. So what's the main problem that you're facing? Is it people are actually going more towards the other brands or organized sector is emerging, or what sort of things are we facing right now?
See, the industry by itself has not been doing too great since quarter three of the last year. So it is not that Cera Sanitaryware has not been performing well. It is the industry as such which is facing kind of demand challenges since Q3. And Q1 was particularly impacted because of elections and the intense heat wave conditions which was prevailing in the country. As Mr. Vikas mentioned earlier, we anticipate that from Q3 onwards, the demand situation should improve. And essentially what we want to stress is this is not something which is impacting our company only. It is something which is impacting the market as a whole.
So do we have any percentage, what of the organized sector does this segment are in terms of percentage?
Sorry, your question was not audible. Can you repeat again?
What's the organized sector consist of in the sanitaryware and faucetware industry for Indoor market?
You're asking whether the organized sector has grown in the last quarters or something. I didn't get your question still.
No, what is the percentage of organized sector that we that as a in sanitary industry and as well as faucet industry?
Okay, you're talking about the size of the organized and the unorganized sector. Okay, now the figures are not very readily available, but what we generally estimate is that the sanitaryware industry size would be in the region of 5,000 crores, and the faucetware would be something like 8,000 crores, which we are talking about organized. 5,000 for sanitaryware and 8,000 for faucet. And the unorganized for the sanitaryware would be something like 4,000 crores, and faucetware would be 6,000 crores. So total would be something like sanitaryware 9,000 and faucetware 14,000.
And how do we have seen the change in shift from organized to unorganized? Do we see any increase in terms of the growth targets, or do we see any sort of improvement eventually from organized to unorganized to organized?
There has been some shift from the unorganized to the organized. Like post the coming of GST, there was an anticipation that there would be movement of market from the market share from the unorganized to the organized, and which has happened also. Again, broad numbers, if you want specific numbers, those are not available. But going forward also, you'll find that shift from the unorganized to the organized is a kind of, you can say, slow process, because the most of the unorganized sector is concentrated in the Morbi belt, and you'll find that as of now, they're facing a lot of challenges in quite a few respects. One, in respect of the kind of raw material increases which have happened in the faucetware, the brass prices have increased significantly in the last, you can say, 2, 3, 4 months. And also because of the fact that the pollution board has started becoming more and more strict in respect of the kind of emissions and effluents which are being discharged. So this is a continuous process, and you'll find that as the market grows, it will be captured more by the organized players as opposed to the unorganized players. But it will be a slow process.
Okay, got it, got it. And in terms of the
Rishi, I'm sorry to interrupt. I will request you to kindly rejoin the queue for follow-up, please. There are others who are waiting.
Thank you so much, follow-up.
Thank you. We'll take the next question from the line of Udit Gajiwala from Yes Securities. Please go ahead.
Yeah. Hi, sir. Thank you for taking up my question. So firstly, when you specify that you are expecting demand to improve from H2, so, I mean, is that a hope or it is, you know, backed by some orders or some inquiries that you're already getting? And if so, then from which segment?
No, so if I understand your question well, in terms of the guidance what we have given, is it backed by numbers or not? That is what is your question?
Yes, so largely when you are expecting, you know, a demand to improve from H2, and you also stated that softness will continue in Q2. So, you know, like what gives you the confidence basically that demand will improve from H2? Because there is already a low base of last H2 since you stated that since last Q3, your demand has been weak. So, I mean, just, you know, what gives you the confidence that demand will improve from H2?
See, there are two segments in which we operate. One would be the B2C, another would be the B2B. The B2B segment has already started seeing improvements. If you look at our project bank size vis-à-vis December, and if I look at compares December with June, December 2023 with June 2024, you'll find that there's been an increase of something like 15%-20% on our project bank size, which is indicating that the project business has started picking up. Retail has been doing slow from Q3, and Q1 was kind of anticipated also because of the fact that general elections was there. So project is kind of already picked up, and we are anticipating that the project will be flowing on to the retail side as well. So Q3, we are anticipating from the flow that we have already received on the project bank, that it should be reflecting on the retail side also.
Yeah, that is helpful, sir. Got it. And sir, in terms of the product mix change, the premium segment that constituted around 44%, what was the number in last Q1, and is there any target for this year or coming, say, by the time you want to achieve 2900 crore top line, how much should premium be as a product portfolio?
So just giving you the numbers in terms of the categories between premium, mid and entry. So premium, it is 44% in Q1 FY25. And in Q1 FY24, it was 45%. Mid, it was 32%. In the previous quarter, it was 31%. And entry, it is 24% in Q1 FY25 as against 24% in Q1 FY24. So more or less, if you see in terms of the categorization between entry, mid and premium, more or less there is no major change. However, means in terms of the efforts what we are putting, in terms of the new category what we are under which the three brands have been put, that is Lux, Senator, and the Luster series, which is going to showcase our luxury segment. So that is at a very initial implementation phase, and in terms of putting the more product parcels or enriching the product profile, our team is working on that, and we will definitely see in the coming years on this particular category also to be growing.
Isme, another thing which I'd like to mention, Udit, is that as a company, our entire range, whether it is entry, mid or the premium, enjoy a very healthy margin profile. Normally, the expectation would be that the entry levels would be having lower margins, whereas the premium would be having very high margins. In our, especially in case of sanitaryware, across the three ranges, entry, mid and premium, the margins are equally good. In faucet wear, there's a slight differentiation between the margins of faucet, your entry and the premium. But otherwise, when we grow and grow in volume, whether it is mid entry or premium, the margins would be impacted in a positive manner, irrespective of the where the growth is coming from. But our strive is always to move more towards the premium sector.
Understood, sir. That was very helpful. Thank you and all the best.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Omkar Gugardare from Shri Investments. Please go ahead.
Yeah. Am I audible, sir?
Yeah.
Yeah. Good morning. Good afternoon. My question was basically regarding the loyalty programs which you have done. Can you quantify the benefits which you have derived so far from that, and what kind of benefits you expect from those loyalty programs?
See, the loyalty program, the main aim of the loyalty programs is that as of now, if you look at our distribution model, it is centered mostly towards the dealers. Like, we sell to the dealers and the dealers are selling to the retailers or sub-dealers. Now, we kind of pass on benefits to the dealers, which they pass on to the retailers. The idea of the loyalty program is to pass on the benefits which we pass on to the dealers to be on further passed on to the retailers, to go directly to the retailers. So what this loyalty program has done is that we have been able to gather database in respect of what kind of retailer profile we have, what kind of buying that they are able to do, because whenever they are uploading their invoices, we get a sense about what kind of product preferences are there. And also, we are able to pass on the benefits directly to the retailer, which earlier we were dependent upon the dealer. So depending upon how we want to tweak our, like your sales how we want to tweak and push our products, we can design our loyalty program accordingly. So the main benefit which is there, that instead of relying on the dealer, now we are able to go directly to the retailer through our own programs.
Is there only just to collect the database or any monetary benefit to the company in the long term?
No, the monitoring process is also there. And as I told you, it is enabling us to push the products that we really want to. One is that we gather information, we gather data, that what products are really being demanded by the consumers. And second is that when we want to push something, the benefits, the kind of rewards which were earlier being pushed to the dealers can go in directly to the retailers. So that is kind of, you know, we have a direct subsidy program for the government. So you don't have an in-between, the person who was there as a middleman in-between has been bypassed and you're going in directly to the retailer and pushing in products which you really want to promote.
So the second question is on the cash position. You mentioned you have around 864 crores of cash. This is excluding the 130 crore buyback or including the buyback? And this, the question regarding that is actually, after doing the buyback, you will be continuing with the higher dividend payouts which you have been doing for the last 2 odd years, or how it will work out?
Okay. So regarding the cash reserves, so just to give you the cash reserve position as on June 30th, 2024 is rupees 684 crores, which is including this buyback part what we have recently announced. And if we see in terms of the options where we have the distribution of excess cash, so dividends, definitely if you see, we have increased the dividend significantly in the past 2 years from around rupees 26 crores in 2021-22 to rupees 65 crores in 2022-23. Continuing the same, the company has declared dividend of rupees 60 per share, which is amounting to rupees 78 crores in financial year 23-24. So this trend will continue in terms of paying out healthy dividends as part of maximizing the benefits or returns to the shareholders. And at the same time, the buyback is also announced. So that is the another part. And in terms of the reserves which are there, means there are some capex options which will come. So that can be taken care of.
Just a small correction. The cash reserves was 864 crores.
Yeah.
This was including, this was before buyback.
Okay, so 130 will be less than that, right? 864 crores.
Correct,
yeah.
Correct.
Yeah. Okay, thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Asim from DAM Capital. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hi, morning. So two questions. First, on the sanitary wear plant
I'm
capex.
Sorry to interrupt. Asim, can you use your handset, please? Your audio is
Yeah, just clear. Just a moment.
Sure.
Hello?
Yes.
Is this better?
Much better. Please continue.
Yeah, just the first question was on the sanitary wear plant capex. So 85% had already been acquired, the land bank. 15%, which was supposed to be done by June, now that is expected to be done by September. Any change in the timeline by the time the plant is actually commissioned? It was supposed to come by FY26 end earlier.
No, what we had said was that it will take 18 months from the date of commissioning, the starting of the commissioning of the plant. It will take 18 months from the zero date. It has not yet started. As you rightly pointed out, the earlier timing was that we should be completing the balance parcel by June. What is happening is the land, the remaining portion of the land which is there consists of extremely small parcels and acquisition of that land is taking some time. So we anticipate that it should be completed by September, October kind of a thing.
But no civil work or anything has started on the balance land that you already acquired, is it?
No civil work has already been started. It will that decision to start the civil work would also depend upon the kind of demand situation which we are seeing right now. Once we see an uptick in the demand, we will be starting with the civil work. And the civil work, this is possible to start even in the on the portion of the land which has already been acquired.
But still, by the latest that the plant would be commissioned appears to be October 2026, 24 months from October of this year, assuming you do the land, basically acquire the balance land, right?
Correct. See, if you are trying to drive whether how we'll be able to meet the demand situation in between, the way that we are progressing and how we are seeing it is that we are already in a very good kind of inventory position. We have very good outsourcing arrangements, and also the kind of mix that we are having within our plant right now, it is possible to shift the mix and increase production of more premium products once we see an upswing in the demand. So we don't see any challenge in terms of meeting the interim situation when the plant is under construction. So as of now, we are waiting for the demand to improve slightly so that we can start with the commissioning of the plant.
Sure, got that. I think you guys have made that pretty clear earlier also. Just was curious about when the new plant starts in. And second, to an earlier question, you just spoke about project sales are picked up. You also mentioned project bank that has gone up from 15-20%. I just want to understand what exactly do you mean by this project bank? How do you define it?
See, what happens is when we are receiving an order for a project, that will be received, you can say, 3 to 4 months to somebody who's requiring it immediate delivery. So once we are receiving an order, the delivery period extends up to 1 year. Like an order which has been accepted today, some part of the order would be delivered today, and balance would be delivered after some time. And it keeps on happening because the requirement of the project also keeps on coming up in phases. So mostly once we are talking about a project bank, it means that orders which have been received but which are to be executed. And normally the price validity and acceptance which we do remains valid for a period of 1 year.
Okay, so it's just another term for order book, basically.
Correct.
Got it. Okay, thank you very much.
Thank you.
Thank you. We'll take the next question from the line of Akash from UTI Mutual Fund. Please go ahead.
Hi, am I audible?
Yes.
Yes, sir, please.
Hi, sir. Thank you for the opportunity. Sir, just wanted to check what is the capacity utilization in faucetware plant? I missed that.
So, regarding the capacity utilization, the faucetware plant is operating at 84% of the capacity in Q1, in this quarter, and the sanitaryware is at 76%. In this current quarter, and this particular capacity lowering down the capacity is to have a balancing impact in terms of the inventories what we are having, and to see means how we can speed up once the demand improves.
Sir, I mean, you would, I mean, when you say that we would be trying to achieve 2,900 crores revenue by FY 2027, if you can roughly share how would the, let's say, growth target look like in FY 2025, or if not 25, what would be the growth target in FY 2026, if you can share?
So, means regarding the guidance what we have given of the 16% CAGR over a period of 3 years, so like I told, we have already taken into consideration the performance, the first half performance of the FY 2025, which is going to be slow or muted. And on, if you see, for the whole year basis, that is 2024-25 as a full year, growth is projected to be in single digit, and the expected compounded CAGR 16%, it is going to be achieved by the increased run rate when we see that the demand is going to be improved in the next 2 years.
Okay, so basically we are broadly expecting healthy growth in FY26 and 27.
Correct.
Sure. Sir, and just one last thing. I mean, you said that project bank has increased. Roughly over, let's say, over next 9 months or let's say by FY26, do you see revenue mix changing in favor of project segment, or you still believe at least 65% to 70% of the overall revenue would come from retail segment?
See, as of now, the total project to retail ratio is 64:36. It was earlier something like 65:35. So there has been a slight change towards the project. So that would totally depend upon how the retail market is picking up, because once the retail market picks up, you'll find that it will start going back to the levels which was there earlier. If there is a stretch in the pickup of the retail market, then maybe this percentage might go up slightly again by a couple of percentage points. But if retail picks up, you find that it will go back to the same levels which it was earlier.
Right. So, so even if, let's say, project segment goes to 60% of the, project segment comes to roughly 40% of the overall revenue, still we are fine with that.
Correct. Because if you see the differential, like the kind of margins that we earn in retail segment vis-a-vis that we earn in the project segment, the discounts would be higher in the project segments by, we can say, 5 to 6%. So if you are talking about a kind of 5% movement from retail to projects, so 5% into 5% would be kind of 0.25% impact on an overall margin, which we don't anticipate too much of a challenge as such. So even if it goes up to 60-40, if it takes some time for the retail to pick up, we'll be fine with that. It will not impact the margins by too much.
Sure, sir. Thank you so much.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Raj Shah from Marcellus Investment Managers. Please go ahead.
Hi. Am I audible?
Yeah.
Yes, sir. Please proceed.
Okay. Thank you, sir, for this opportunity. So my question was regarding F24 annual numbers. So there is a significant reduction in power and fuel costs. So as a percentage of sales, it has reduced to 1.9%, which used to be 3 to 4%, say, in last decade. And this is in spite of the fact that our purchases from, I mean, purchase of finished goods has also reduced. The question was, what led to this significant reduction and what we can expect in F25?
I think you'll have to repeat the question. You're saying that our power cost has reduced by 1.9%.
Power and fuel.
Has reduced to 1.9% of sales, which used to be 3 to 4% of sales.
It has reduced to 1.9% of sales as opposed to
3 to 4% of sales, which is last decade average.
You're asking why there has been a reduction in the power and fuel cost?
Yes, sir.
This is largely led by the increase in the consumption which we have been able to do from GAIL. Like, we have two sources for gas. One is GAIL and another is from Sabarmati. GAIL is subsidized. Earlier, the draw from GAIL was much lower, so that the weighted average used to be higher. Now, with the increase, like as Mr. Vikashji mentioned, we are able to draw 84% of our gas from the lower subsidized portion. So that is why the gas cost on an overall basis has improved. Also, we have windmills wherein which kind of compensates for the electricity cost which is being incurred by CERA. In the last year, a couple of windmills were under repair, so we were not able to draw from there. So once India come to the current year, all those dolls have resumed from the windmill, the ones which were under repair. So both these factors combined, like increased draw from solar power, from the windmills, and the increased draw from gain, have led to a reduction in the fuel and gas cost.
Okay. So going forward, what we can expect as a percentage of sales, what should be power and fuel?
As a percentage of sale, it is, if you see, it is 1.3-1.4%.
It should remain at those levels.
Yeah.
Okay. Thank you. That answers my question.
Thank you. We'll take the next question from the line of Prem Chaudhary from Pink Wealth. Please go ahead.
Yeah. So I have two questions. First, the margin difference between premium entry and mid-level. And second, our order book current order book from project stand, from project business.
See, as I told earlier, like the margins for the sanitary ware between the entry, premium and mid are more or less the same. It is slightly higher for the premium one, but more or less it varies differently across the various SKUs, across various ranges. But in sanitary ware, even the entry levels enjoy pretty good margins, comparable with the premium levels, margins. In faucet ware, there would be a slight difference. The entry don't enjoy such high margins as compared to the premium ones. As for in respect of the order book, cannot give you the numbers as such, but as I said earlier, the as compared to December, the total order book has gone up by 15-20% for projects.
Okay, and the execution period for this?
Sorry?
Execution period for the project bank?
It is normally like keeps on happening, but like it's a continuous process. The order banks, the older ones keep on getting executed. We have newer orders which keep on coming in. The validity of an order is for the price that we quote is valid for 1 year.
Okay. Yeah, that's it from my side. Thank you.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, we will take that as the last question for today. I would now like to hand the conference over to the management for closing comments. Over to you, sir.
Thank you, everyone, for attending this call and for showing interest in Cera Sanitaryware Limited. Should you need any further clarification or would you like to know more about the company, please feel free to reach out to me or CDR India. Thank you once again for taking time to join the call. Thanks a lot and bye.
Thank you, members of the management. On behalf of Cera Sanitaryware Limited, that concludes this conference. We thank you for joining us and you may now disconnect your lines. Thank you.